content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Sports Illustrated for Kids, January and February 2025. But first, we're going to start with the last edition, because last week I was telling you about six rule changes that came into play, but we ran out of time when it came to three, so I just want to finish that up for you. So these are rule changes because some athletes were so unique, they were forced the game to change. So here are three more. Add more woods. Tiger Woods was a dominating force on the course, so much so that before the 2002 Masters, Chairman Hootie Johnson approved changes to Tiger-proof Augusta. To make the course more difficult, holes were lengthened and the fairways changed to include more trees. Trapped in. The trapezoidal area behind the goal limits the space a goalie can handle the puck. It was introduced before the 2005-2006 season by the NHL to contend with players like Brodeur of the New Jersey Devils, who were known for their awesome puck-handling skill. Let her rip. Cleveland Browns running back Greg Pruitt famously wore tearaway jerseys because it made him more difficult to tackle. The NFL banned the use of the tearaway fabric in 1979 to even the playing fields and also to save on replacement jerseys. On to our next segment called Freeze Frame. Jump for Joy, November 12, 2024, in Atlanta, Georgia. Otega Owe had plenty to celebrate after Kentucky knocked off number 6 Duke 77-72 in the Champions Classic. The junior guard, number 00, made four free throws for the Wildcats in the closing seconds to ice the victory and finished with 15 points, much to the delight of his teammate Brandon Garrison. It was the first big win for new UK coach Mark Pope. This freeze frame photo is a picture of Owe and Garrison jumping in the air with joy on their faces. They're jumping so high, in fact, that a very tall man behind them is below their waist level. So they are really reacting to that. Now on to the Max, November 3rd, 2024, in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It takes something more than a penalty and a little rain to slow down Max Verstappen. After qualifying 12th at the Sao Paulo Grand Prix, he was moved back to 17th due to a grid penalty. During the wet weather race, Verstappen wove through the field, eventually winning to the delight of his Red Bull team. He clinched the F1 driver's title at the next race in Las Vegas. And this is accompanied with a picture of a very happy young man leaning over a railing and pumping his fist in joy as he watches his racer race towards the finish line. Let's move on to some baseball. An article called Follow the Golden Rule. This is accompanied by a photo of Aaron Judge in his Yankees uniform getting ready to make contact with a ball at home plate, getting ready to swing. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has floated a new golden at-bat rule. And the reviews are in. My instinct is that it's not baseball. said Fox Sports reporter Ken Rosenthal. It's so ridiculous, I cannot even dignify it with an answer, scoffed talk radio legend Mike Francesa. That's a crazy idea, said MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. Yes, Rob Manfred is now considering a rule change he once dismissed as a crazy idea on the Dan Lebatard show with Stugatz. For Manfred's many critics, disagreeing with himself represents the first time Manfred has ever been right about anything. Here's the idea in a nutshell. At any point in a baseball game, a team can send up their best hitter, no matter who is supposed to be at the plate. The version Manfred dismissed on the Lebatard show in 2015 was more extreme. Managers would get 4 or 5 golden at-bats per game in an effort to get star players up to the bat as many as 10 times. But the basic concept is the same, to which Manfred then replied, "You're wasting my time." What changed? Perhaps the success of other recent rule changes, the pitch clock, bigger bases, convinced the commissioner that baseball fans have a bigger-than-expected appetite for tinkering with America's oldest pro sport. For many fans, however, this idea is a bridge too far. The 1-9 batting order is the most fundamental aspect of this game. In fact, you'd be pretty hard-pressed to find someone in sports media enthusiastic about the idea until you open this magazine. That's right, Rob Manfred, 2024. I've got your back, brother. Don't let those naysayers like 2015 Rob Manfred get you down. Let's do this. Watch carefully as I line up the predictable arguments against the golden at-bat and knock them down, like Shohei Ohtani knocking back-to-back home runs in the 9th inning while batting first and second. First up, it ruins records. Great hitters getting 160 extra plate appearances per season will warp numbers. Newsflash, gang. The records already make no sense. Those guys who set all those hitting marks in the 1990s and aughts were on so many steroids they looked like someone had inflated them with a bike pump. Cy Young wrote the pitching record books with an arsenal that would get him shelled at this year's Little League World Series. I don't know if that's true, but the point is you can't prove me wrong. Everyone complains these days about how the rigors of the modern game have made records unbreakable. No one even reaches 300 wins or 500 homers anymore, much less challenges the tippy-top of the leaderboard. With his golden at-bats, Aaron Judge gets to actually chase all those past Yankee greats. Here's a more compelling argument. The golden at-bat ruins the spontaneous underdog moment. In the NFL, the star quarterback has to be the hero with the game on the line. In baseball, the worst hitter on the team, or a guy limping off the bench, has the chance to be the man. In Game 6 of the 2011 World Series, Dave Freeze of the Cardinals forced extra innings with a game-tying triple with 2 outs in the 9th inning. But he wouldn't have been in that position under the golden at-bat rule. Albert Pujols would have gone up to the plate. This point was also made by people resistant to the National League adopting a designated hitter. Sometimes a pitcher got a big hit and it was fun. For every Bartolo Colon home run, however, there were hundreds of thousands of miserable at-bats of pitchers flailing against their opposite numbers. The David Freeze example is selective memory. Most of the time, the number six hitter does not save the season. Someone like Freddie Freeman does. And now for their final objection to the golden at-bat, the sanctity of the record books. They're using their golden argument, but it's time to let the record books go. Nobody has hours of fun on a Sunday night studying the record books. The games are meant to be entertaining first. The record books are just that, recordings of this fun sport and the many ways it has changed. On to a story about Sports Kid of the Year. Hate to say we called it, but we did. Being named Sports Kid of the Year is a reward for what an athlete has accomplished both on the field and off the field. But there's a forward-looking element as well. We expect big things out of our SKOTY choices, and they haven't let us down. For instance, if you turn to the middle of this issue, you'll see a poster of 2020 winner Juju Watkins, who has become one of the best college players in the country while starring at USC. She's not the only recent sports kid to star on a huge stage. Back in 2019, Allie Centnor won the honor. At the time, she was a 15-year-old high school soccer star with dreams of playing for her country. In a video interview with SI Kids, she wore a U.S. WNT World Champion shirt and talked about what the team meant to her. "I look up to all the players on the team," she said. "They're all role models for me. Watching them win the 2019 World Cup was such an amazing experience for me because one day I want to be there." Well, now she can say she made it. On November 30th, Centaur made her USWNT debut in front of 78,346 fans at Wembley Stadium in London. "You're going to have plenty of years of this," Coach Emma Hayes told her as she entered the game as a substitute. "Go run your socks off." She did, of course. Centnor has always been a hard worker. Her mom called her a typical kid with atypical drive towards her goal. That drive led Centnor to North Carolina, where she hit a significant bump in the road, tearing her ACL minutes into her first preseason game. She bounced back, though, and led the powerhouse in goals, 11, and assists, 7, as a redshirt sophomore in 2023. Centnor turned pro after the season, and the Utah Royals took her first overall in the NWSL draft. As a rookie, Centnor had 3 goals and 4 assists and was named the league's Player of the Month in July. As if that didn't keep her busy enough, Centnor also captained the U.S. team at the U-20 World Cup in Colombia in the fall. She scored 3 goals and won the bronze ball as the tournament's third best player. That set up her dream debut in London, where she played the last 6 minutes of the scoreless draw against England. "Honestly, I have no words," Centnor said after the game. "These girls have made me feel like family since I got here." She was presented with a game ball and led the squad to its 1-2-3 team chant after the game, bringing to a close quite an eventful year for the 20-year-old. The NWSL season doesn't start until March, but you can even bet with no games, Centnor will be somewhere running her socks off. Let's move on to an article about starts and finishes in the world of sports. The art of the start. Does getting out of the blocks fast guarantee success? Does stumbling early doom a team? It's complicated. The Cleveland Cavaliers of 2024-25. Coming off a disappointing 2023-24, the Cavs tore up the league for the first month of this season. They tied the record for the second best start in NBA history, winning 15 straight before a narrow loss to the defending champs, the Celtics. Then, after a couple of more wins, Cleveland was trounced twice in 3 days by the Hawks, a team with a losing record, which goes to show you never can really tell anything in the NBA. The Cavs hope their streak will propel them to their first title without LeBron James, whose best start in Cleveland was just 6-0. The Winnipeg Jets of this season. Sometimes a bad start can lead to good things. In 2017-18, Winnipeg got torched in its first two games, getting outscored 13-5 in a pair of losses. The Jets went on to make the conference finals, their best ever postseason run. But the season didn't end with a trophy, so maybe this year's 15-1 start, the best over 16 games in NHL history, will yield a better result. However, as we'll see on the next couple of pages, record-breaking beginnings don't always lead to happy endings. Good luck, Jets! Great start. Yeah, but the New England Patriots of 2007. There was one storyline at Super Bowl 42. Could the Patriots finish what they started? It wasn't just that New England was hot early in the season. They stayed that way through the middle and end, finishing the regular season 16-0. Two playoff wins gave Tom Brady and his teammates the chance to become the first NFL team to finish undefeated since 1972. Their opponents, however, thought they deserved some attention too. Everywhere you went, it was all about the Patriots and 19-0, said Giants quarterback R.W. McWhorters. So New York went out and made the world take notice, winning on a touchdown after receiver David Tyree kept the drive alive by catching the ball against his helmet. 2 weeks into the season, the Giants had been 0-2, not an ideal start, but theirs was a perfect finish. And I can tell you, I remember this Super Bowl. And the interesting fact was that the Giants went in as the last seed and weren't expected to go very far. Now on to the Philadelphia Flyers of 1979-1980. Led by future Hall of Fame center Bobby Clark, the team known as the Broad Street Bullies showed little mercy. After losing their second game, the Flyers didn't drop another contest for nearly 3 months, by which time they had 26 wins and 10 ties in 36 games. In the playoffs, Philly reached the Stanley Cup Finals but lost to the New York Islanders in 6 games. With 2 losses, including the clincher, coming in overtime. The Milwaukee Brewers of 1987. Just before the 1987 season, a Milwaukee newspaper poll found that 74% of people in Wisconsin had no idea who the Brewers' manager was. It was Tom Treblehorn, who until a few years earlier had been a substitute teacher. Then his Brew Crew won an AL record 13 games to start the season, and suddenly he was the toast of the town. at least until the team's 12-game losing streak in May. Still, Milwaukee finished with a respectable 91-71 record. The Golden State Warriors, 2015-16. How good were the Warriors when the Splash Brothers were at their peak? They began the 2015-16 season without their coach, Steve Kerr, who was sidelined with back problems. His interim replacement, 35-year-old Luke Walton, had no head coaching experience at any level. Well, it turns out experience might be overrated. Golden State won its first 24 games under Walton, 9 games more than any NBA team had ever won to start a season. But by the time Kerr returned, the team was 39-4, and he guided them to a 73-9 finish, the best record in league history. But the Dubs' near-perfect season ended in heartbreak as LeBron James led the Cavaliers back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals. The Minnesota Lynx of 2016. The 2016 WNBA Finals matchup seemed destined from the start of the season. The Los Angeles Sparks won their first 11 games, only to be outdone by the Lynx, who won 13 in a row, more than a third of the 34-game season. Their final showdown went the full 5 games. Maya Moore gave Minnesota a 1-point lead with 15 seconds left, but the Sparks answered with a bucket with 2 ticks remaining. Curse reversed. San Diego Chargers of 1992. Coming off a 4-12 season, expectations weren't exactly high in San Diego in 1992. An 0-4 start sounded just about right, and things only looked to get worse considering the team was playing with backup quarterback Stan Humphries, who had 1 touchdown pass and 8 interceptions in those 4 losses. But a Week 5 win over the Seattle Seahawks snapped Humphries out of his funk. San Diego went 11-1 the rest of the way, winning the AFC West and becoming the only team in NFL history to make the playoffs after an 0-4 start. Minnesota North Stars, 1990-91. Like the rest of the teams on this page, the North Stars got off to a bad start. They were 5-15-5 at one point. Even when they got better, they weren't actually good. Minnesota snuck into the bloated NHL playoffs with a dismal 27-39-14 record. But Brian Bellows and company just kept winning in the playoffs, reaching the Stanley Cup Finals. They took a 2-1 lead on the Pittsburgh Penguins before their bubble burst with 3 straight losses. The Chicago Sky in 2021. Before the 2021 season, Chicago area native Candace Parker became a free agent after 13 seasons with the Los Angeles Sparks. She chose to sign with her team near her hometown, where she said, "I first fell in love with this orange ball. There was nothing to love about her decision after 9 games. The Sky were a miserable 2-7, but Parker and her teammates rallied and fought their way into the playoffs, where they caught fire and won 8 of 10 games, en route to becoming the lowest-seeded team to win the NBA title. The Boston Braves of 1914. Between 1909 and 1913, the Boston Braves finished last in the National League four times. So their woeful start to the 1914 season didn't come as a surprise. Boston was 3-16 at one point, and in mid-July, they were still dead last in the NL. Then the team, which included players called Rabbit and Possum, suddenly sprung to life. The Braves didn't just win the pennant, they did so handily, finishing 10.5 games ahead of the second-place Giants in the World Series. Boston cemented its status as the Miracle Braves with a sweep of the Athletics. Phoenix Suns, 1996-97. After 8 games, the Suns were winless and fired their coach, Cotton Fitzsimmons. His replacement, Danny Ainge, then lost his first 5 games, running Phoenix's mark to 0-13. But the late season acquisition of point guard Jason Kidd spurred the team to an 11-game winning streak that allowed the Suns to finish 40-42 and make the postseason, establishing the mark for the worst NBA start ever for a playoff team. Now let's try to make the call with some questions about sports. Number one, wrong way. Buzzards are playing Whitney's Wizards at the Treehouse Court under NBA rules. Whitney shoots a mid-range jump shot that clangs off the rim. Her teammate Kip is in position to tip the rebound into the basket. But as he prepares to jump, Buzz only swoops in and grabs the ball only for it to bounce off his fingers and go into the hoop. Liz, who is keeping score, knows that it's 2 points for the Wizards, but which player gets the credit for them? The answer is Kip gets the credit for 2 points, since he's the player on the offensive team who's closest to the ball. Math problem. In a golf tournament under PGA rules, Bob Page finished his round and signed his scorecard. He immediately realizes that on one hole, he has taken credit for a par when in fact he made a bogey, meaning that his total score is lower than it should be. He asks to correct his mistake, but his playing partner insists that the penalty for signing an erroneous scorecard is an immediate disqualification. What's the call? Page is allowed to change his score. A recent rule change gives players a 15-minute grace period to correct scoring errors. Before the rule, if a player signed a card with a higher score than they should have, the score would stand. If they signed a card with a lower score, they were disqualified. We have run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The contents of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any